time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hi, this is Lee Bockham, full-time thriveologist and part-time thrivalist. That means I am always studying the science of thriving, and I'm sometimes living it out, and I invite you to join me on the journey of both learning about how to thrive and how to live it out more often. We all struggle with thriving, mostly because we get in our own way. So we're going to talk about some ways of how to get out of your own way, and today we want to talk about how thoughts impact that. In our last episode, we talked about how our brain does that, and let's think of this in a couple of ways. One, let's think of the brain as kind of the hardware system, but we have a software system that's running it, and we have those two pieces that fit together. The hardware and the software run with each other, and they impact each other. For instance, as we talked about last time, our brain is literally wired for fear. We have the biological system that's running the software that is already in a fearful state many times just because that's how it keeps us alive. But then we have the software system, and the software system is a bit buggy. You know, it always needs an upgrade. And so we have a chance of doing some upgrading by thinking about how all this fits together. One of my central themes is that we all have a mindset, a paradigm, a worldview of how we see the world. Now, that worldview, that paradigm, is very subjective. It's subjective for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is just because of how we select what's going on around us. Scientists say that there are 11 million impressions coming at us every second of every day. 11 million coming at our senses that we're trying to process. And yet, our brain is only capable of dealing with about 40 pieces of information at one time. What that means is there's something like 10,999,960 pieces of information that we are leaving out. That's a lot of information that we've completely left out. So we are choosing what we take in. We're choosing how we respond to that, and we're not consciously choosing it. We've built a way of understanding the world. How we understand the world is based partly on our age, partly on our gender, partly on our education level, where we live, how we grew up, the family's influence, all those pieces that group us into ways of understanding the world, which means that there is not one way of understanding the world. There's something like 7 billion ways of understanding the world. Everybody has a different way of understanding what's coming at them, but behind all of it is their thought process. Our mind is created to do only a couple of things. One is to think, create thoughts, and the other is to observe how we're doing that. That's what our mind does. Now, notice that the same mind that can build a huge tower can also ponder ways of taking down that same tower. We have the capacity in our mind of thinking about things that are both useful and things that are not so useful, things that are good and things that are bad, things that are helpful, and then other things that make it useless. And so we have a place where our mind is just creating thoughts. That's all our mind does. It weaves these thoughts. Now, the fact that we are thinking is not an issue. What it does to us is an issue. The problem is we forget we are thinking. There was a day when I had someone in my office, and I was trying to help her understand all of the chatter that was going on in her head. And I said, you know, all that thinking you're doing, all those thoughts that are running around in your head. She turned to me and she said, I don't have that. I'm not doing a lot of thinking. I said, oh, so you don't have the constant little conversation going on in your head? She said, no, I don't have that. Well, she came back the next week and she turned to me and she said, I hate you. And I said, why is that? She said, because now all I can hear are the voices in my head that are saying things to me, to which I responded, they've always been there. You just fail to notice them. And the problem is we all sometimes get to the place where we fail to notice the thoughts that are running through our heads. We fail to notice the cacophony of voices that are running through our heads. And that is when we get into trouble, when we begin to assume that our thoughts are real. I'm not saying that our thoughts are completely unreal, that we're living in a hallucinogenic place. I'm saying that not everything that's going on in our head is representing what's going on with other people. Some years back, I was watching my two nephews, and they were just kind of arguing with each other, and one of them accidentally, I think, hit his brother, and the brother said, "You did that, and you meant to do that." And the younger sibling looked at him and said, "You don't know what's in my heart." And I just had to laugh, because that's exactly how we go through our lives. We assume we know exactly what's going on in that other person's thoughts. We assume that our thoughts about their thoughts are real. Notice how quickly we get away from the reality of the situation, the objective nature of the situation, and into the subjective place of our brain, the subjective place of our thoughts, the subjective way that we read the world in certain ways that play into a theme of how we understand the world. Have you ever known anybody that just felt like everybody was out to get them? That everybody was angry with them? Everybody was disappointed in them? The fact is, they began to read things that way, not because it was true, but because it fit into their understanding of the world. And we all have ways that we understand what's going on around us that are less about reality and more about our subjective thoughts about that. So if just for a moment, if you'll imagine, or you can even write it down on a piece of paper if you're sitting at your desk or sitting somewhere that you have some paper around you, just put a pole on one end, just a dot, and then draw a line across the page and put another dot. And then over the first dot, I want you to write thought as reality. Thought as reality. And then at the other end, I want you to put a thought is a thought. And underneath that, put thought recognition. Thought recognition. Thought recognition is just a way of understanding that you recognize that a thought is a thought. You recognize that that thought may not, in fact, be entirely true, may not be entirely reflective of reality. So think about that for a minute, because we tend to play in the spectrum between those two points. At one end, the thought as reality, at that extreme end, is what we refer to as mental illness. Years ago, when I was working in a psychiatric hospital, I came into contact with people that when they had a thought, they could not let go of it and assumed it was real. So they began to have a thought in their head that there's a helicopter just over that hill, and they began to believe it because they thought it. Or they believed that somebody was following them because it was a thought in their head. Or they believed that the radio was talking to them specifically because it was a thought in their head. And when they had the thought in their head, they began to believe it as real. They could not separate the thought in their head from reality. So that's when we are at that end, that every thought in our head is reality. That really is a space that really is held generally only by people with mental illness. At the other end would be people who are always aware that the thought in their head is not entirely real. They recognize the power of their thoughts. We also tend not to live in that area. We live in the in-between. We live at the place where we sometimes are aware that that thought is just a thought, that that's not a reality, that we become aware that maybe what we're thinking about our friend or reading in a text or watching on TV, maybe that's just our thoughts. And then we begin to move that other way where we assume what we're thinking is true. You know, we assume that our friend is against us. We assume that our boss is out to get us. We assume lots of things because we confuse it from the thought to reality. So to add another complicator, how we're feeling, how our energy is, makes us more or less capable of understanding that thought is just a thought. If we have a low energy day, when we're not feeling good, then we have that place where we have a harder time letting go of it. We have a harder time recognizing that that thought is just a thought. There's a term, Virginia Satir, who wrote People Making, a wonderful book years back, had a term called being low pot. And what she talked about is the fact that life can keep poking holes in our pot of self-esteem. And when there's more flowing out than there is flowing in, we fill low pot. And for me, I understood that growing up. I had parents who exposed that to me. My mom was a school counselor. My father was a pastor who brought some of those ideas into church and teaching programs. And so when they would explain that to me and talk about feeling low pot, you know, I began to associate that. And so what I think about this is those low pot days when I'm just not feeling good. You know, something has gotten in my way. I've taken something personally that somebody said, maybe an email stung a little bit more than it should have, and I let it kind of mull around because maybe things just aren't going the way I want them to. And so my mood has dropped. I have lower energy, or maybe I'm feeling bad. Maybe I've got a cold. Maybe I've run my body down. Maybe I'm too tired. Yeah, you know, I can think back a couple of weeks ago when I traveled back from the West Coast to my time zone, and my body was 3 hours off. And so in the morning when I'm getting up at 6 o'clock, my body thought it was 3 o'clock, and it was just low energy, and it was harder to get anything done. I just felt bad and was complaining to myself and not real happy about how things felt. Well, that's a low energy moment. And when we have low energy moments, we are more likely to assume that that thought is real. We get stuck in that place of believing our thought is not just a thought, but that the thought is real, as opposed to the days when it's sunny and bright outside and I feel good and, you know, things have gone well and I'm high energy, right? Maybe I've exercised that morning and so I'm feeling good, and I can recognize that when something pops into my head, it's just a thought. And the same thing could have happened along the way and be taken completely differently. Let's say I got a stinging email. If it's a low energy day, I may really take it personally. If it's a high energy day, I can recognize that that's the other person's issue, not mine. And that when I have the thoughts that drag me down, they are just that. They're just thoughts. I can move on. And I begin to have a conversation with myself that pulls me to a place where I realize more and more that the thought is just that. It's just the thought. Now, the problem is that we often get into a cycle because our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings create our response to situations. It's not the other way around. It's not that something happens that makes us feel a certain way and then we think about it, which is how psychology has posed it. You know, something happened in our lives, we feel a certain way, and that makes us think. It's the reverse. How we think about something creates our mood that then leads to our response. I offered this in the last episode about our brain, and it's important as we think about this because I can prove my point. If I say to you, make yourself angry, what would you do? Don't do it, but what would you do? Would you imagine something that made you angry? Would you think about something that's angry? Because when we have memories, all we're doing is taking a thought from the past and bringing it into the future. It's not a representation of or into the present. It's not a representation of what really happened. It's a representation of how we remember it happening. So a thought, a memory, is a thought that we pulled from somewhere else and brought it into the present. So if I said, make yourself angry, you would think about something that made you angry. That would leave you with a feeling. And if I was not careful, that might lead you to have an angry response to others around you that has nothing to do with what's going on around you and has everything to do with how you're thinking about it. So part of what we're watching is the chain of events that happens from our thought process to our feelings and then our response in the world. And when we begin to be aware of that, we begin to have some control over what's going on in our life. So let me pose for you that there are three pieces to unraveling this. The first one is being able to say to yourself on a regular basis, okay, that's just a thought. A thought is just a thought. That does not have to mean I'm going to stick with this. And sometimes just doing that gives you a little distance. Gives you a little space. You know, sometimes when I'm feeling frustrated with something and I'm taking something personally, for instance, then I need to say, okay, that's just a thought. It's not reality. It's just a thought. And when I do that, it steps me back a step. I get to take on my objective part of my brain, the observer part of my mind that can watch myself having that thought and realize that that's just me having the thought. It's not real. It may be reflective of what's going on. And this is a very important thing. When I say this with people, sometimes they say, well, what you're saying is nothing's real. No, no. There are lots of things that are real. That doesn't mean that our interpretation of them is real. For instance, let's say I'm in a room and there's a table in front of me and that table is blocking me from walking across. Now, without getting into a philosophical debate about the physics of that table and how much empty space there actually is in that table, let's just all assume that the table is reality, that there is a table in front of me. Now, I could have one of two thoughts. I could say, why did somebody put this table in my way and keep me from getting to the back of the room? Or I could say, wow, it's so nice that the table is here to hold this pile of stuff so I can walk easily to the back of the room. Same table, same situation, but the thought about the purpose of that table is entirely up to me, how I interpret it. Or let's use another example. Let's say you're driving in the downtown, right? And you come up to a light and you see that there's somebody standing on the corner and the person is just scowling at you. You look at them and you're trying to recognize who they are and they just have this scowl on their face that's so upset looking. And you go, wow, who is that? Is it somebody I need to know? Did I pull up too close to them? Did I somehow drive unfairly? Did I somehow get in their way? What did I do to upset them? So the light turns green and you proceed on. And you continue to have that thought process going on as you continue to go down the streets, noticing very little because you're caught up in your thoughts. You're having a thought attack. You're weaving those thoughts over and over until they get bigger and bigger in your own head. And you miss all the lights you go through. And you miss all the other people that are standing on the side that you almost hit. And you arrive at the place and you park your car and don't even realize how you got to where you were going. If you had rewound and been able to take in the full picture, you would have noticed that that person standing on the corner is holding a long white cane with a red tip. It was not a scowl. It was concentration of somebody trying to make sure that they could cross the street with the limitations of their senses. That's an example of how we take the reality of a situation and we extrapolate our interpretation of it based on some other pieces of information that maybe we've dragged in from our past or other places. In other words, it's an incomplete place. That those impressions that we took in are incomplete. And it left us with a thought process that was not accurate. Instead of being able to recognize that that was just a thought that we cooked in our head, we get stuck in that thought attack. So the first step is recognizing a thought is just a thought. That's all it is. It may have some merit to it, or it may just be useless. And so to recognize the thought's a thought is not to discount the thought process, but it's to recognize that not everything you think is necessary to act on, and not everything you think is based in fact, and not everything you think is even accurate reflecting what's going on around you. We all have that place where we can recognize that what's going on in our head as we pull to that observer stance of our mind and say, that's just me thinking. Thought's just a thought. Okay, the second thing is you want to be careful on low energy times when you're needing to make a decision. If you're at a low energy point, you are much more likely to be responding to the low energy and be confusing the thought with reality. And so when you have a bad day, it's not that you might not have to make some decisions, but you might realize that you're making decisions at something of a compromised position. Low energy may mean you need to put off any big decisions or having big, important conversations, because if you had them then, they would not go well, they would not represent what's really going on, and it would be responding from another place where you're believing those thoughts as real. So number one is recognizing a thought's a thought. Number two is recognizing that that's harder to do when it's a low-energy day. When it's a low-pot day, low-energy day, time to wait to make any big choices and to be careful when you're making any choices at all. The third one is to think about your thoughts as being something that sometimes it's hard to track, but there's something that's very helpful to track it. It's your feelings. Your feelings are not irrelevant, but they are a great barometer of what's going on in your thought process. Your feelings can let you know what you need to attend to. My parents have a place at the beach that we get to go to every summer. We're very fortunate to have that as a vacation destination. And one of the things that's in that summer home is a barometer. It's right beside a thermometer and another clock. And so with those three pieces, the clock, the barometer, and the temperature, I can kind of have a good idea of what's going on around me. I know what the temperature is. I know what time it is, so what we're going to do. But the barometer is what we want to focus on. A barometer lets you know how the pressure is, low pressure or high pressure. And so when I walk into the beach house, when we get there, I just set the reading needle with a needle that allows you to adjust it to that reading needle. So the reading needle is telling me what the pressure is, and there's another little dial that I can just add so that they line up. So then after that, when I walk by, I take a look. If the needle is at the same point or above it, I know that we've got high pressure and good weather. If the reading needle drops below my mark, then I know that we probably need to choose to go to a movie or go do something inside because bad weather is coming. In other words, the barometer lets me know what is coming my way and how things are going, high pressure or low pressure. Same with your thought process. Your feelings are a barometer to your thoughts. They're an easy way of tracking. Instead of going, what am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? What am I thinking about? You can easily say, how am I feeling? If you find yourself having the lower emotions, and I'm not saying bad emotions, I'm saying lower emotions, emotions of anger, of frustration, of being upset, of feeling depressed, of having lower emotions, it's a good time to go, what am I thinking about that's making me feel this way? As opposed to the times when you're feeling appreciation and joy and contentment, those kinds of higher emotions, if you're sitting there and you go, wow, I'm feeling pretty good, no need to worry about what you're thinking about. But when you're not having such positive places, such higher emotions, but you're having lower emotions, it's a wonderful time to say, what's going on in my thought process that's dragging me down? Because as soon as you think that, it'll occur to you that you've been thinking about this. And as soon as you come to that, you can then step up to the number one, a thought is just a thought. So the number three of using your feelings as a barometer then takes you back to the number one thing, which is a thought is just a thought. It may be useful, it may not be, it's still just a thought. And when you do that, you begin to get out of your own way and you begin to find yourself thriving more and more. Okay, so we're at the end of this episode. I want to invite you to give me some feedback. Let me know what you thought about that. Leave comments in the section below the post if you're on the blog listening to this. If not, feel free to go to the blog. You can find it at thriveology.com. Just leave a comment there and let me know what you're thinking. But also, let me know what you'd like to hear about. We've got an email directly for this podcast. It's podcast@thriveology.com. That'll let you give me some feedback and also ask questions or give comments about other things you'd like for us to cover as we continue to find better ways of thriving in your life, in your relationships, in your work. Thriving throughout your life. I wish you the best. This is Lee Balcom.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.